Good morning. Good morning. Hello. Hey, everybody doing all right today? Hope everybody is doing well on what looks like we might get a little bit of rain today, but that's okay. We need it. Got to get the humidity level kicked up a little bit more. But at any rate, we are tickled to death to have you with us today, whether you are here on campus, whether you're in the multi-purpose building, whether you are over in the sanctuary, or whether you're watching us online. Now, like I said, we're still doing a greeting because you know how we are as Baptists. But look around, give somebody a smile that says, "I'm happy. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad that you're here." If you're part of our online audience, just say hello to somebody that you may see there in the feed, or just say hello to us. But we're glad to have you with us on this beautiful Lord's morning. It's beautiful because God has given us life. That means He's given us purpose. He's not finished with us yet. And we have this opportunity to be able to gather together in His name and just draw from His grace, His strength, and His mercy. Again, we're grateful for the opportunity to have gone on vacation and got a little bit of R&R, ready to get back on time and on target with things. So we appreciate that opportunity that the church has given us. Let us go ahead today and begin in a word of prayer and ask the Lord to be with us and to bless us along the way. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you today, again, we're grateful and thankful for this opportunity. Lord, as we look over the past year and a year plus and all the things that we have come through, Father, I pray that we just don't take for granted the opportunities that you give us to come together and the opportunities to be in your house. Lord, I just pray right now that you will help us to set our hearts and our minds to you. Help us, Lord, to be able to consider what we hear from the Holy Spirit today. Father, we know that as two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst, and you've got a word for us individually, where we are in life and everything that's taking place and in everything that's going on. Help us, Lord, to be receptive to hear it. Help us to prepare our hearts as we come together. Lord, we're thankful for our Christian brothers and sisters and the opportunity to see the smiles on faces. Lord, I'm grateful for those whose strength has come from you, and they've depended on you through the trying times of the pandemic, the trying times of personal and family loss, and so many things, Lord, that have taken place, and yet you have been faithful all the way through. Thank you for that. Lord, today, speak to our hearts. Move us in a direction that is close to you. We pray that if there's one here who doesn't know you, one that may be hearing that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that you would convict their hearts, that today truly would be the day they would give their life to you and there would be rejoicing of all the saints in heaven. Father, bless this day as only you can, as we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, as you've come together, I know that some of you have probably seen the announcements, and you have probably thought that there may have been a typo or something along the way when you have looked at, and I'm going to go ahead and ask, how many of y'all have seen the announcements in some way, shape, form, or fashion, whether it's during a service, whether it was something that's gone out that's been written by email or social media platforms that says the word PLARN, P-L-A-R-N. How many of y'all have seen that? None of you. You need to pay more attention to the announcements, each and every one of you. But you've seen where the group has gotten together and they are making PLARN. Yes, you heard that right, P-L-A-R-N. Now, let me ask you this. How many of you, pay attention to the question, how many of you do not know what PLARN is? If you do not know, good. We're going to educate you this morning, and we're going to show you the cause for what PLARN is and what is going to be taking place with that, so that not only will you have a better idea, you will have an opportunity to participate in a phenomenal and fantastic ministry. So without further ado, I'm going to ask Miss Bev Allred if she would come up. And Bev is going to give us an explanation of what PLARN is, what they are doing with this, how you can help, and how this is going to help in the hearts and the lives of those that we come in contact with through the ministry of Grace Community. I'm going to grab this mic right here.
Good morning. The Mission Action Team, we've been requesting for a lot of plastic bags, and there's a reason. With that, we have actually begun making sleeping mats for our community friends at Grace Community. I've got one laid out here if you want to come by and check it out. Also, at the end, they can roll it up just like a sleeping bag and carry it with them. You know, many of our community friends at Grace sleep outside with the elements. The plastic bags here will protect them from the moisture. It provides a barrier there for them, also with a little bit of softness and warmth to them. As you can see, thank you, Vanna. It takes about 500 to 700 bags to make one of these mats. And the way we started out, let me grab my stuff. We start out simply with those pesky trash bags that a lot of times are plastic bags you just kind of throw away at home. We cut it into strips. Then we roll it up into a bowl of plarn, and then we begin to crochet with it. So it's a process. Personally, I'm not a crocheter, but I'm a plarner. I can make the plarn and give it to our crocheters. It's a great ministry. This week, we have two opportunities, Tuesday afternoon from 2 to 4, and Thursday night from 6:30 to 8:30. We'll be here. We can show you how to plarn. If you're a crocheter, we can get you going on a mat. It's just a great opportunity for each of us to give out. And we talk about Grace. We're very excited to say in August, they're opening up their dining room back where we can go and serve as we used to. Central has been a part of this ministry for 14 years, where we've provided and served meals once a month, the third Wednesday night, to our community friends, which are many are homeless. During COVID, we still always provided the meal, except our friends had to get the meal at the door and take it off of the property. So we're excited to say we're going to go back. We're going to serve just like we always have. August the 18th. So mark your calendars. If you want more information, please see me. But come join us this week and learn how to plarn. Thanks.
Set this over here. I'll tell you something that was interesting about this. When you think about it, I don't know if if your mind went where mine does. I was sitting there thinking, well, that seems like that would be kind of hard to lay on because of where you would pull it together. That is as soft as can be. I mean, when you get a chance, come by, check it out, at least feel it so you'll know what it is and get a look at it, because it looks just like what you would crochet with, except using yarn, except we're using those bags that everybody gets when you go to the grocery store. I've separately bagged items. If I have 14 items, I'll bag them in each bag so I can bring them down here, because as you can see, this would be something that's going to be extremely great for the folks at Grace. It's lightweight, it's durable, it's waterproof because it's plastic, and you can be a part of that in one way, shape, form, or fashion. So consider what God would have you to do in that ministry. If it's not being able to actually come together and make the plarn or crochet them together, you can definitely bring bags. Bev's got a box out in the vestibule outside the office where you can put those in there and be a part of what God's got going on through Grace Community. So consider that prayerfully, and we look forward to what God's going to do. Tammy's going to come and bless us in song now.
The soldiers mock his name. his followers as they cry in disbelief. This could not be the reason that he came. See him realize his life is through. Feel the love burn from his eyes. Behold the temple veil as it is torn in two. Hear the one on Calvary as he cries, paid in full.
Paid in full. I've done the work I came to do.
Paid in full. I've paid love's final price for you. When all hell tries to tell you that you'll never win, just remember that the debt for your sin is paid in full. See his chicken tongue between two ways. Some still choose to mock his name. Now, for we can boldly say, we are the reason that he came. See the ones who trust themselves alone to do what only Christ can do. Jesus' blood alone we may approach the Father's throne. Hear the words that he still calls to you. Paid in full. I've done the work I came to do. Paid in full. I've paid love's final price for you. Just remember that the debt for your sin is paid in full. I've done the work I came to do. Paid in full. I've paid love's final price for you. When all hell tries to tell you that you'll never. Just remember that the debt for your sin is paid in full.
Right? Just remember that the debt for our sin was paid in full, meaning nothing else is owed, paid in full. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn with me this morning, if you would, to the book of Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. Luke's Gospel and chapter 18. You know, throughout my life and yours as well, and regardless of what position you have been in. Even if you haven't been a person that's a Christian that's gone out and shared your faith or whatever, you have been part of conversations that talk about Christ, haven't you? Somewhere along the way, it's either come up in a conversation or whatever it may be, and maybe you've had that opportunity to put your 2 cents worth in there about Jesus, and you've sat there and said, hey, you know, he paid everything in full. He took all the sins, past, present, and future, to Calvary's cross. He is our Savior. You know, it's about a relationship with him. All the things that you may know about. Now, generally, there's at least 2 different types of reactions that you get. Now, there's others, but they kind of fall into one of these 2 categories. You've got the people who think they've got it all together. Oh, yes, I know, I understand, I agree, I do all of this and I do all of that. How many of you have ever been in a circumstance where you've been telling somebody about Christ and you really know that what's going on, based on the comments that they make back to you, that they really have like a work salvation? I'm not trying to say that you're judging them, but a lot of it is, well, I do good and I do this and I do that. How many of y'all have ever heard that? They're missing the complete point about the fact that it's the love of Christ that nailed him to Calvary's cross. They're completely missing the fact that it was to pay the sin debt. And it's about, well, I do this and I do that. Yeah. So you've got people who feel like they've got it all together, and they're technically agreeing with you, but from the wrong concept. Now, then there's the other side of it, where you'll get answers from people who don't want to have anything to do with it. They'll say it's crazy that there are lies or what have you. So it kind of falls into one of those 2 particular categories, as it were, responses that you will get. Now, my question for each and every one of us today is, what is your response when you get alone with Jesus? Now, the latter part of that statement is really the key to it. When you get alone with Jesus. Now, why do I say that? Because what happens is, when we are with other people, whether we want it to or not, being in their presence influences how we think, see, feel, and believe. You don't think so? Think about peer pressure for a moment. How many of you believe there is such thing as peer pressure? It's out there and it's strong. You do. Well, why? Yeah. What is the element of peer pressure? The element of peer pressure is that you want to be like everyone else. You don't want to stand apart. You don't want to be different. But yet Jesus calls us to be separate. He calls us out to be something that is different. And when we're with the crowd, we will react differently than when we are alone with the Savior. Now, most of us have probably been in some circumstance along life's way where you reacted to something in a way that you should not have reacted to it, and there was somebody in that particular group or crowd who knows you and loves you, and then when you got alone with them, they looked at you and said, what are you doing? What is your problem? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Okay. They're like, well, that's not you. That's not the real you that I know. The real you that I know wouldn't function that way. The real you that I know doesn't act that way. What's your problem? And some of them, if they love you like you think they do or like they should, they will tell you, listen, this is not you. You didn't do this right. I don't get it. See, what I said a minute ago was, what is your reaction to Jesus, and what is Jesus' reaction to you when you are alone with him, not with the crowd? When you can see yourself through the eyes of the Savior, what does that view look like? What does that vision look like? You know, when you get to the point where Jesus comes and he holds a mirror or a lens up for you to be able to see you, yourself, as he sees you, let me tell you what happens, or what should happen. It should break your heart. It should break our hearts to see the sinfulness that we are through the eyes of the Savior who was crucified on a cross, that we might have eternal life, that our sins might be forgiven. Now, this morning's passage is not one that it is something that you probably have not read before, but it is a reaction of two different folks in regard to viewing themselves when it comes down to a walk with the Lord. This is a well-known passage about, and I'm going to use this term because I can't think of a better one, but religious reaction to Jesus. Okay, look with me if you would, Luke's Gospel chapter 18, and we're going to begin reading at verse 9. Luke's Gospel chapter 18, begin with verse 9. It says, "Also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." Verse 10, "Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess.' And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who is humble, who has humbled himself, will be exalted." Let's pray together. Father, as we come into your presence, we do so with anticipation to be able to hear from you. Lord, we realize that that will take place simply because you have given us that promise in your word. Today we come seeking you. Today, Lord, we want to view ourselves through the lens of the Father, not through the lens of mankind, not through the lens of what we believe ourselves to be, but Lord, through the lens of your righteousness, through your glory, through your shed blood on Calvary's cross. So Lord, I ask that you would be with me as your messenger for these moments, that you truly would be lifted up. I pray that you will change hearts and lives everywhere, because each and every one of us have been in your presence today. Bless our time, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we look at this particular passage, you know, at times we would sit back and we would say, boy, this one guy is really, really arrogant. This Pharisee is one of those that just has the epitome of arrogance along the way. Go back to that verse 9. It says, "Also, he spoke this parable to some," it says, "who trusted in themselves that they were righteous." Now, you have to remember, Jesus was still on earth at this point. The death, burial, and resurrection had not occurred just yet. So you notice why it says they called themselves righteous. Back in the days of the Old Testament and prior to the fulfillment of salvation being able to be completed through the death, burial, and resurrection, you remember that folks of the Old Testament were saved, still saved by grace through faith, but it was what they believed was going to happen because it hadn't happened yet. Those of the days of the Old Testament believed that Jesus was coming, believed that he would be crucified, believed that he would rise again, and therefore put their trust in him. Now, they didn't say in the Old Testament days that those people were saved. They were called what? Justified. So notice what it says, because he's still speaking that language to them right on the cusp, right before the crucifixion, burial, and resurrection. But it says the latter part, that they were righteous or justified, and it says this, it says, "and despised others." Well, that does not sound like a Christian attitude, does it? Said they despise others. If you look at it in another translation, it says, "and treated others with contempt." The snobs, the snooty ones, the religious people. Now, Jesus even had trouble with the Pharisees, didn't he? I mean, they were actually one of the biggest thorns in his side were those who were the religious ones, the ones who were supposed to know. So he lays out this particular story. You notice it says there's a parable. He's laying this out for a comparison's sake. So he's talking about one who is a religious man, this particular Pharisee. And notice in verse 10, he starts to introduce the story with the point that he's trying to make. He says there are two men, verse 10, who went to the temple to pray. Now let me bring that into modern days. Two guys going to church. You with me? They went to the temple to pray. It says one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. Now, a lot of people would look at that and say, if you're religiously steeped in history, you will know what that really means. Tax collectors, back then, much like today, are not looked at with favor. When y'all think of the tax collector, what do you think of? Don't say it out loud, because you might have to confess afterwards. But, you know, we don't have tax collectors today like we did back then, but they're still tax collectors because you get this little envelope every year that talks about the taxes you got to pay. Amen? Yeah, all God's people know that. And then you sit there and get all of a sudden your stuff gets reassessed and you're not real happy with the tax collector, right? Not your favorite person. Well, guess what? Back in that day, the tax collector wasn't their favorite persons either. You know why? Because not only did they collect the taxes, usually they collected more than they were supposed to. And guess what they did with the extra? Do you think that they funded plarning for the homeless? Do you think that they took that extra and did community type events? No. Guess what they did? They stuck it in their own pocket. So tax collectors were not looked at favorably. They were looked at as thieves. They were looked at as the person that you did not want to be. Well, that's a tax collector. So remember, he's laid out the story. Now, I want you to picture for a moment these two men walking up to church. Now, I want you to put the biblical basis or the biblical history to it. One guy walking into the door is the very religious guy. He's the guy who's the praying guy. He's the guy that people look at and say, that guy right there is religious. And then back a little ways, you see the guy that is essentially an accused thief. And you go, oh, look, look at this wonderful Pharisee coming up here. He's so religious. I want to be just like him. And then, Lord have mercy, look, coming behind him. Don't make eye contact. That thief. That guy's kind of heading this way. He's nothing but a thief. So they've laid the story out. He says you got a Pharisee, and then you got a tax collector. Verse 11 says that the Pharisee stood and prayed, thus with himself. Now this guy right here is over here. He's having this prayer. Now remember, it's a parable, but this is what he's really believing. It says that he prayed thus with himself, verse 11, God, I thank you that I am not like other men. Now, I want to stop right there for a moment, because up to that point, that's not really a bad prayer, is it? It depends on the heart. It depends on the mindset. Now, let me qualify that, because some people might say, well, I don't quite understand what you're saying, that that's not a bad prayer at that point. You know what? I am thankful today that I don't have to be like my brothers and sisters in Cuba today that don't know where their next meal is going to come from. I am thankful today that we have medical treatment and medications that are accessible to us to treat disease, which they don't have. You know what? It's all right, I believe, to say, Lord, I am grateful that I am not in the same position that they are in. Are you following me on that? That's different than what he did. All right? It's okay to say, Lord, thank you for the blessings that you have bestowed upon me, the blessings that you have bestowed upon my family. Because when I look at somebody else, listen, we all know people who are suffering, don't we? We all look at people and say, you know what? I sure am glad I'm not in their position. How many of you know that? You know, I need to see that you're awake. Give me your hands up. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying. I am thankful, Lord, that you have blessed me and my family in such a fashion that we don't have to walk that road. Now, having said that, that's not what he said. Let's go back to the verse. This is verse 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men. And he begins to give a list. Extortioners. Unjust. Adulterers. Or even as this tax collector. Now, I almost sat back and it just kind of makes me wonder if this guy in his prayer isn't sitting there saying, Lord, I'm grateful that I'm not like other men. Extortioners, adulterers, the unjust, or even that tax collector over there. I have this feeling that he was looking, or there was something that was going through his mind that particularly called out these things. He stood in the midst of people in the temple, and he probably looked at him and thought, you know what? I know about that person. I know that that person right there is an extortioner. And yet they come into the house of the Lord. I know that that person right there is unjust. And yet we see him here in church. I know what they do Monday through Saturday. That person over there, who's an adulterer. I know what's taking place. I know what's going on. You imagine him sitting there praying as he's looking around. Now, a lot of people would sit back and say, well, I'll tell you one thing. I don't want to go to church because church is full of extortioners and unjust people and adulterers and tax collectors. And you know what? Yes, the churches are. And there's no better place for each of them to be than in the Lord's house, where the Lord will have an opportunity to get a hold of them and convict their heart. Last time I checked, hospitals were for sick people. Amen? Not well people. Those aren't my words. Those are the words of the Lord. Hospitals are for sick people. Guess what? Churches are as well. Churches are designed for those that are sinners. And last time I checked, each and every one of us are sinners saved by grace. Now, we're going to go out and we're going to mess up before the clock hits midnight tonight. And yet we have the audacity to point at somebody else. Extortioner, adulterer, unjust people, tax collectors. Ugh. They don't deserve to be in the Lord's house. Well, that's a dangerous comment, isn't it? Because none of us deserve to be in the Lord's house. We are all saved by His grace. Word of the Lord says, but by the grace of God go I. And last time I checked, the Word of God says that we as His people, when we see a brother or a sister that is taken in a fall, it is our job to go and to support them and to carry that. And listen, that doesn't mean support them in the sin. It means to support them on the way to recovery. There's a difference between those two. Why is it that when Christian people, we feel like we have to just completely distance ourselves from somebody who's been taken in a fall? Well, when they get their act together, I don't want to be around them. That might rub off on me. Or somebody may say this. That's not the way God designed the church, and that is not the way God designed His people. The Christian is not supposed to leave a brother behind. We're supposed to take them with us. And when they go down, when a soldier goes down, what happens, brother? The first guy comes by, grabs his rifle. The second guy that comes by grabs his pack. And the third guy that comes by grabs him. Maybe with the help of the fourth. But the church today's gotten to the point where we got some country club going on. Ooh, your membership is not good because you're a tax collector. You're a tax collector. Lord, thank you that I'm not like them. Now, he goes on, and this is what makes it even worse. In verse 12, not only does he say, Lord, I'm thankful that I'm not like them, and starts calling out these different things. Guess what he goes? In verse 12, he says this. He starts pumping himself up. I fast, verse 12, twice a week. I give the tithes of all that I possess. Look at what I do. Look at me. I'm a good church person. I'm a tither. That's what they want. That's what they really want. They want to get in my pocket. So if I can just give, I'll be all right. Let me interject something right here. Yes, you should give because tithing is biblical. But it's not so that you should be seen by other people. You don't give simply because you feel like you make this big contribution. Last time I checked, the God we serve owns the cattle of 1,000 hills, and he don't need our help. But let me tell you what he does want to do. He wants to bless each and every one of us. And he says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Oh, the preacher's messing with my wallet again. No, the Word of God's messing with your wallet again. So how faithful are you? Now remember when I said a moment ago, when we started this message, I said, what's it like when you and Jesus get alone together? When there's no outside influence, when there's nobody else telling you, well, you need to do this and you need to do that and you should do this and you shouldn't do that. When Jesus holds that mirror up and shows you the view that he sees, it should break your heart. Each and every one of us. Because last time I checked, the Word of God says that even our righteousness, our good stuff, even our righteousness is as filthy rags in the presence of holiness. See, when we get alone with Jesus and he holds that mirror up, he says, you're a mess. Can you see it? Look, you're filthy. You beat up. Now here's the thing. When we see ourselves as Jesus sees us, when we look through his lens and not the lens of mankind, not the lens of family, not the lens of friends, when we get alone with him and we see ourselves as he sees us, our reaction should be that of the tax collector. Verse 13 says this, and the tax collector standing afar off. Do you realize the humility of this tax collector was that he didn't even feel that he was worthy to be up there where other people were? He was ashamed of who he was. He was ashamed of what he saw in the mirror or through the lens of Jesus. He didn't even feel worthy to be in the midst. And it says, the tax collector standing afar off. Now, let me give you a modern application. There are a lot of people who have been taken in a fault. You've known them. Those people who have messed up. And I'm not saying just out of embarrassment's sake, but what they do is they do the exact opposite thing they should do. Instead of running to the people of God for help and support, they run away from the people of God, meaning they run away from church. And part of the reason why is we've given them a really good reason to, because we ostracize them. We become like the publican. We become like the Pharisee. Huh, I can't believe this. Unjust, adulterer, murderer. Listen, this should be the safest place for somebody to come and confess and be supported by brothers and sisters. The tax collector didn't even feel like he should be around them. There was humility in his life. Where is the humility in our lives? When we see through the lens of Jesus, where is the humility? It should break your heart, even if you are good and righteous. See, we keep telling ourselves that. Why? Because we compare ourselves to other people as opposed to comparing ourselves to Jesus, who's the standard. Because it's really easy for us to sit back and say, well, let me tell you one thing. I may not be what I should be, but I'm a whole lot better off than Kirk. I might not be the best Christian, but I sure am better than John. Or Jim, or David, don't we? Isn't that what we do? We compare ourselves to somebody who doesn't do as good as we do, and we use that as justification to be where we are. You see, you're comparing yourself to the wrong standard. The standard by which you compare yourself with is Jesus. And I don't care who you are. If you're living and breathing and listening, when you compare yourself to Jesus, you fall short. I will take that one to the bank and I'll take that to eternity. You ain't Jesus. So what are you making your comparison with? Verse 13, the tax collector standing afar off, he was humble, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven. That was the humility. He didn't even feel worthy to look up to the heavens toward where God was, because he was so enthralled with what he had seen. He was so broken with what had taken place. He was so broken with the picture that he had seen. There was personal guilt. And not only was there personal guilt, let me tell you what else there was. There was passionate grief. I like the word passion. You know why I like the word passion? Because passion means that you have a passion for something. We all understand that. His grief was real. It was passionate. He would not even as much as raise his eyes, verse 13, towards heaven. It says, but he beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He cried out to the Lord, God, I'm a sinner. Couldn't even look up. Lord, I see myself as you see me, and I don't like what I see, but God, help me. I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior. Now, I want to go back to something that's been basic, specifically in our modern society. And you know what it is? People sit back and say, well, I wonder why people don't get saved in this particular century, not like they used to. Let me tell you why. Because they don't realize and won't admit to the fact that they're lost. And until people realize that they're lost, they will never see the need for a Savior. Do I sound old-fashioned? Yes, I do. Is that correct? Yes, it is. Until you can first admit that you are a sinner, you won't have a need for a Savior. Amen? And that's the reason why, because society has done transformed everybody into, well, whatever you want to do, if it feels good, do it, it's all right. See, that's why that everything wants to get rid of biblical standards. That's why I don't want God in anything. I don't want the Bible in schools. I don't want the Bible in the government, because if it was there, then that would mean there are absolutes. This is what thus says the Lord. So if we can just get rid of all this, then everybody can do what everybody wants to do, and everybody is perfectly fine, and nobody's wrong. Everybody's always right. So you don't have to feel guilty. If it feels good, do it. Welcome to 2021. And see, if people buy into that and believe that, then you have no standard of basis to what's right and what's wrong. Oh, but we do, don't we? Because we've got Jesus and his lens, who says, let me show you something. See, that's why you can't compare yourself to other people. See, other people's lens looks different. It's scuffed up. It's cloudy. In fact, they want to black it out. So, I'm all right, you're all right, we're all right. No, you're not. Listen, last time I checked, every person that was born is on their way to hell until they realize they're a sinner, until they realize what Jesus did on Calvary, until they give their life to him, and until they change that destination by accepting the free gift of salvation of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. That is the message. That's the gospel message. But you see, folks, until people realize they're a sinner, they'll never realize the need for a Savior. That's why you got a bunch of heretics out there who get in pulpits who say, well, I'm not going to preach anything that's negative. I'm not going to tell you about sin, because that just breaks little people's hearts. They can't handle that. Oh, so you'd rather see them go to hell. Sometimes people just need the blunt, straight up, honest truth. Let me give it to you. Probably not going to be popular for this. Without Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. The place which burneth with fire and brimstone forever and ever. You see, the reason I tell you that is because I love you enough to tell you that. Not to blow sunshine your way to make you feel good, And see, yet people do that all the time, packing churches out because it's feel good. Come on in. Let me tell you how good you are. Let me tell you how right you are. Now, it's not about browbeating everybody, but listen, you've got to preach the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God. And that is according to His Word. Now, a lot of people would sit back and say, well, see, the people always talk about, you know, praying a sinner's prayer. Now, I understand what people are saying. I don't agree with people saying, telling people to stop asking people, stop asking Jesus into your life. I don't agree with that. This is where we get a sinner's prayer, is from this passage right here. It says that he beat his breast and he said, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. That was a cry from his heart to God. You know, when people have come and they've said to me, they say, preacher, listen, I need to be saved. I realize I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I need Jesus today. My thing is, well, let me introduce you to Him. And how do you talk to Him? Through prayer. And what's wrong with asking? What's wrong with being just like this tax collector who cried out to the Lord and said, Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner? See, that's what a sinner's prayer really is. Lord, I've messed up. Lord, I need your forgiveness. Nothing wrong with that. Now, let me interject something else. There is something wrong with that when that becomes a checkbox process to salvation. Oh, well, when I was little, I went down front and I prayed with the preacher and all was right with the world. Well, okay, let me give you the litmus test to that. Did your life change? Because Jesus coming into your life changes your life. Did the Holy Spirit come into your heart? Is there conviction there? See, the Lord said this, and I think we've got to be careful. We don't like to preach this, but the Bible also says this. The Bible also says, not all who say, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, that doesn't mean that He picks and chooses. What that means is, was there a genuine conversion experience? Because the Bible tells us that Jesus in your life changes your life. He goes on and He says this, not all who say, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but those who do His will. Now some people would say, well, now you're talking about works of salvation. No. I'm talking about a combination, because Jesus in your life should create good works. Remember, in the New Testament, that says we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, a little bit further on in the New Testament, it also says this, faith without works is dead. It's not that you get Jesus by working, it's that because you got Jesus, you should want to work for Him. You have the desire to work for Him. You have the desire to do His things and to please Him. Do you have the desire, or was it just a checkbox theology? See, I believe that there's a lot of people who think they're on their way to heaven that are going to die and go to hell. People would sit back and say, well, how do you know? Check your heart. Get alone with Jesus. Oh, see, because He's already done that. Whether you're on this campus, in that building, this building, whether you're watching online, the Holy Spirit has already convicted your heart if you don't know Him. Now, are you going to sit back because of a prideful way and let Satan keep you where you are and keep you away from Jesus to the point that you could step into an eternity in hell because of your pride or vanity? Are you going to do that? Or will you cry out to Jesus today like this tax collector? Lord, I see myself as You see me today. And it's breaking my heart. Lord, it's killing me. It's bringing tears to my eyes. I don't like me. I don't like this me. But I do like the me that You can make me to be through You. Help me, Jesus. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And finally, verse 14 says, I tell you this, this man went down to his house justified. Remember we talked about that at the start of this passage? Justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Where do you stand in your private meeting with Jesus? Don't care what everyone else says. Don't care what everyone else thinks. You're not bringing them into the audience with Jesus. What has he said to you today? It's been you and him. He stood you up and he's pointed things out. The question is, what are you going to do with them? Today, if you need Jesus, you can be like this tax collector. You can cry out for him. I'll help you. That's what I'm here for. We'll celebrate with you. Maybe you're here today and you've done that, but what happened is that you got alone with Jesus for a few minutes this morning and he showed you the hideous view that you are. And there are some things that you need to carry before him and the forgiveness that you need to ask. We're going to do that in just a moment. I'm going to ask Jim and Amy if they'd make their way up here. In just a moment, they're going to play some invitation meditation for us. And I'm going to step down to the front. See, I still believe in old-fashioned altar calls. I mean, you know, I get it. We've tried to balance things with the situation of COVID, but nonetheless, this is more important. So what I'm asking you right now to do is consider Jesus. Listen, if you're watching from home or you're out somewhere, you know, what would I tell somebody who responds here today? I would tell them, say, look, be like this guy, the tax collector, and cry out to Jesus. He already knows. He's put it in your heart why you're in his presence. But with honesty and with sincerity, call on him to save you. Let him know you realize you're a sinner. Let him know you realize what Jesus accomplished on that cross. Cry out that he might come into your heart and save your soul. Then listen to the Holy Spirit as you follow him. You won't regret it. Listen, you're only here that long on this earth compared to all of eternity. I'd rather hedge my bets for over there than right here. Are you following him in his word? Are you growing in grace? What is the Holy Spirit leading you to do? Listen, if you need Jesus, you call on him right now. Cry out to him. If you need our help, listen, if you're all part of our online audience, please let us know. Dr. Gant is monitoring that. We will get with you. We will help you. We will start you on that journey to grow in grace. If you're here, listen, let us know. If you need the good old-fashioned altar, it's here. As Jim and Amy play, as we're in an attitude of prayer, you respond to our Lord. Amen. God is good. And all the time, God really, really is good. Just a couple quick things before we dismiss. Don't forget, come by. Check this out. Listen, even if you just walk by and feel this, I mean, if you're like me, I couldn't wait to get my hands on it because I kept saying, I gotta find out what this is. Come up, check it out, be a part of that. Don't forget, you can come actually be a part of it 2 times this week, and that's Tuesday 2 to 4. Thursday, 6:30 to 8:30 in the conference room. They'll actually be doing all the above, making Plarn, making the balls of Plarn, and then actually putting them together. So you can come be a part of that ministry that will aid those who need our assistance, our friends from Grace Community. Don't forget, we do have our offering receptacles as we go out. Listen, summer is always tough on churches because we're coming and going. We're going on vacation. I am urging you to be faithful to the tithe that God may be able to bless you. That's what He wants more than anything, is to bless you. It's about you and God. Now, the church benefits from that because we keep the lights on and the air conditioning going. So don't forget, on the way out, we got an offering box back here in the multi-purpose building. If you're in our sanctuary, you can just place that in the offering plates up front, and we will see to it that it gets where it needs to be. Don't forget that if you're part of our leadership team, we have a meeting at 4 o'clock. Am I right on the time? I'm coming off vacation. My brain's still got to kick up. 4 o'clock, that is a virtual meeting for our leadership team. This is the third Sunday. We're going to talk about some things as we start to kind of get cranked back up. We're really looking to do that around middle of August. And the reason I say middle of August, everybody will get the last of the vacations, you know, moved out of the way. School's getting ready to start back, and we're going to try to get back to a little bit more of what we know as normal, or what a new normal will be. So thank you for bearing with us through the midst of COVID. COVID's beat us up pretty bad as a church, but not just us, all churches. So continue to pray, continue to be supportive. That meeting today, 4 o'clock. And just as a reminder, this week, if you have an opportunity, just to let you know who all's having birthdays this week. I'm not telling you which birthday they're having, but I'm going to tell you who's having them. Randall Kaiser this Tuesday is having a birthday. Carl Young this Wednesday. And Tina Allman this Sunday. We don't have any listing this particular week of any anniversaries. And we do get this information based upon our roster of membership from the office. So if you wind up not being on this, let us know. Can't fix what we don't know is broken. You got to let us know what's taking place or what's going on. But if you see those folks this week, be sure to send them a big God bless you, happy birthday, and who knows, send them a card or what have you. That I'm sure they would love that. Anything I've forgotten right offhand? Like I said, I'm just coming back from vacation, so we're surviving. All right, let me pray with you. We're going to ask God's blessing upon the offering, and we look forward to gathering again as we gather around God's Word. Let's pray. Father, you're good to us. Again, we thank you for the fact that salvation's not complicated. But Lord, we realize that Satan tries to twist it to the point where we are so confused about what it really, really is. God, help us to see and hear the Holy Spirit in our lives. Lord, help us as we have followed you to listen to that conviction. Lord, I pray above all things that we will truly see through the lens of Christ rather than the lens of man. Lord, help us to draw close to you. Help us to lift you up that you truly might be exalted. Lord, thank you for our church. We ask that you do something incredible through it. And Lord, meaning you're going to have to use her people to do that. And we also know that you've already given us everything we need to be exactly what you want us to be. So God, help us. Help us to find that. Help us to get remotivated coming out of this COVID-19 pandemic. Lord, help us to realize that you have called us to serve you. Bless us, Lord. Give us a great day. Send us in the heart and life of somebody who needs to hear about you, and give us the strength and courage to tell them, as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.